Diet Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Diet Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
And welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 6, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of that shofar? You need to heed its warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I pray for you, with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, everything you want to know about our ministry, about Messiah's Branch. You can find it at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like Frankfurt, Germany, Southampton, United Kingdom, Madrid, Spain, Sydney, Australia, and, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Tulsa, Oklahoma, Aurora, Illinois, Boston, Massachusetts, Corpus Christi, Texas. And this week, Tulsa, Oklahoma beat out Wichita, Kansas. And Wichita, Kansas is usually our largest group of listeners when it goes to podcasts later on tonight. But Tulsa, folks over there in Tulsa, you beat Wichita this week. Follow and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will, Father. I just ask that you bless this program tonight in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I'm back with you, and I have a couple of things. I had my wife on last time, and we were in talking about prophecy and the times right now, and I just got a few things I wanted to say. I plan on bringing Frank on a little later in this program when I get done talking in a minute. And according to my wife, all I do is talk, but I don't get that. In fact, I really don't like to talk much. That, and imagine that, I'm on talk radio. Never could get that. You know, it was really hard to do because I didn't like talking over the phone. When we started this, it was talking over the telephone. Anyway, forget about all that. Let's make the program interesting. Anyway, as I look out across the United States and the world for that matter, but, you know, I people tend to look in the environment around them better. You know, when you look towards the world, you see all of these abominable things, you know, whether it's women. Now, you know, I believe the Father made women and he made them beautiful, but I don't believe women should be going around with practically no clothes on, you know, and showing their assets, and it's all over TV, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse, whether it's in plays and public nudity, and then you have, and so that's not right. The word says that it's not right, but so many people, even the church, turns a blind eye to it, because part of it is because it's just assimilated into them. Because they're so exposed to it. It's just like people don't get it. You know, here in, we look around us and we see transgender people. Now, I don't know about in your area. Some places it's worse than others. But it's starting to where, you know, I look at people and I look at women and I don't even know if I'm looking at a woman or not. And that's pretty scary. And it's not that I'm trying to check her out or anything like that. But you look at a woman and you're, well, doesn't she kind of look like, but oh, well, I don't know what she is. That is an abomination under the Father. He made men and women to be men and women. He made them to, made us to so we could create. We have a purpose. That's why we're given it. And to say that, that a woman or a man, well, let's say if we say that a man is really a woman, but yet he has the man things, then that means God made a mistake. And I don't believe our Father makes mistakes. And so it isn't from birth. The transgender thing, especially right now, the children are being brainwashed into believing, oh, it's a cool thing, blah, blah, blah. And it's their parents that are doing it to the children. You understand that? So it isn't that children generation. It's actually reality 20 years ago we would call what's going on child abuse, you know. But it's getting worse and worse. There's a huge spiritual war going on right now. I honestly believe it's an end-time war. But it's manifesting itself in real, what we call real time, in the physical universe where I'm sitting right now and where you're sitting. And that's all that hatred that you see out there. Have you ever seen such hatred? People are killing each other. Mothers are killing children, and fathers are killing children. And it's just wholesale slaughter is going on. But yet people have a blind eye, and they just go right on about it, you know, like nothing has happened. Like nothing has happened. And it is just insane. And it's worse and worse, and it's just like abortion. Now, abortion is the murder of youth. I seen a girl or picture on Facebook maybe yesterday, and it showed her she was full-term pregnancy. Today's my due date, and she says, but I live in Colorado. I can go have an abortion today because it's legal, but yet my baby's due today. Really? That is wholesale murder. Not only are they murder them, you know, it's one thing. You know, I remember back when abortion, I'm not ever was for it, but I know a while back when a woman had an abortion, you know, she cried about it and it was a hard thing to do. And so on and so forth. And society, you know, people felt bad because it was something that happened that they had to terminate it, or they believed they had to terminate it, which I don't believe that there's any cause for that, because the baby can always be given up for adoption, if nothing else. And there's case after case of people that have even been raped, and their children went on and have thanked their mothers later on for not, you know, aborting them. But now they celebrate it. They celebrated in the murder of all these children, and it's just sickening. But yet so many turn a blind eye to it. Can't you see the sacrificial things that are happening there? These are sacrifices to the devil. But this is all ungodliness. We are in that time of the end. And I got started on this, and in the last segment I was talking with my wife on some things in 2 Peter. But I really wanted to give this to you folks today, so that you can hear and tell me if this, you can get back with me and tell me if this indeed sounds like, our time right now. Your Heavenly Father in Yeshua's name, bless this reading. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there are even false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying Yahweh that brought them, and bring themselves to swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoke of. And that is the way it is right now, is it not? They say good is evil and evil is good. Through covetousness shall they, with vain words, make merchandise of you, whose judgments now of a long time lingereth not, and these are damnation, slumbereth not. Actually, they're pointing towards the church, bringing in damnable heresies, and making merchandise out of you by getting, in other words, what was it, Jesse, and he's one of the worst of them. Jesse Duplantis, way back, he used to say, you know, the people of God were made into dummy wallets. You know, well, are they dummy wallets? Are you a dummy wallet? You just give and give and give and you don't know where your money's going to? You know where your money's going to because it's his money, not yours. But if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them under the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. They, Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom, it was destroyed, burnt up with fire, came down out of heaven. Why? Because of their ungodliness. And it should be a warning to this nation and to these people doing all these things. You know, Russia has a lot of, they're a Christian nation, basically. If you look them up, they're Orthodox Christian. And the reason that Vladimir Putin does go good with them is because that he keeps pointing to the West and the United States. Look at them. They're evil. Look how evil they are. They're promoting homosexuality and so on and so forth. And in that sense, he's right about us promoting homosexuality. It's evil, folks. Transgenderism is evil. That is evil. It's abominations. Anyway, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them is seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deals. In other words, he was hurt by them. For Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to receive the unjust and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Yes, he knows how to deliver who? The righteous, those that are following him. And that's what we're in. We're in an end time pull back to righteousness. That's what this Torah movement's all about. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government. Presumptions are they self-willed that they are afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before Yahweh. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their corruption. And if you listen to them, you'll perish in their corruption also. They will drag you down to it because they speak of these evil things. All of these evil things are speaking of. They will be punished for it, but he will save the righteous and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Does that sound like anything you're seeing out there right now? Spots that they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart have made exercise with the covetous practice, and cursed children, boy, it really sounds like right now, cannot cease from sin. They think right now, they think sin is cool. Have you ever seen such a time that people openly sin and then they have no shame? They have no shame. Which they have forsaken the right way, which they have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And what is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness, it's iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is being without law, being without Torah. These are wells without water, clouds that were carried with a tempest to know, to whom the midst of the darkness reserved forever. For whom they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure under the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. But while the promise of liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought to bondage. See, they're preaching liberty. We can do whatever we want, but that's what the devil preaches. We are not in that kind of a liberty. We do get liberty through the release of sin, but we have to turn away from sin. We cannot waller with these people. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, Yeshua, HaMashiach, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness than that after they had known it, to turn away from the holy commandment and that was delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was worse than a wallowing is in the mire. Well, it talks that these folks are abominable. I don't know why that people are listening to them, and I can tell you why. Because the church was silent. This all goes on the doorstep of the church. The church took on a 501(c). After they took the 501(c), what did they do? They shut up. What happened when they quit preaching in sin? That other thing came in. Oh, well, let's all preach. Let's name it and claim it. You give me your money and you claim what you want and God's going to give it to you. Have you ever heard such travesty? But that's what it is. It's not about that. It's not about love of the things of the world. You know, the world is in such turmoil. We have to love the things of Yahweh and the blessings that are spiritual. Store up treasures in heaven and not here on earth. And all these abominable people and all these things that you're seeing play out on TV are just craziness. And all this fight against Trump, that's craziness. All of these things are. You need to pray for our president. But now, anyway, we're going to go on to a different subject, and I want to bring Frank on, Frank Stephan. He is the producer of this program. You know, he's the guy that brings in guests and does all those things and puts on commercials. But he has his own program called The Frank Report, where Frank is really just frank about everything. So are you there with me, Frank?
I am, Dan. How you doing, Dan? Let's say Dan a lot.
There's just this thing about Frank. Anyway.
And you know what? The subject that you just were talking about, you know, it's a great segue into what I had mentioned to you, at least to begin, you know, because we kind of get off the track when I get on your show and we end up going wherever.
Right.
But at least we can start where we are going to, because it's really kind of simple. And it goes along with what you, at least part of what you were saying about lying and deception and that part, right?
Right, right.
Because
right.
I think everybody, you probably saw Drudge, and everybody does, and it was his headline for a while about this New York Times so-called opinion piece that was written by an anonymous source that supposedly is a senior member of the White House and part of some resistance that is going on within the Trump administration. You know, and okay, so the New York Times publishes this. Now, people have to understand that, look, sometimes in a news story, like for instance, if you're going to be, say, doing a news story about a mob court case, all right?
Right.
Or a mob, just say a mob drug dealing or something, and you know things and you talk to people, you may want to keep some of those sources anonymous so they don't end up dead.
Sure.
You know, that is a legitimate use of anonymous sources.
Right.
But to have an opinion piece and allow somebody to anonymously put this out there, especially when it is something so inflammatory as I'm a senior member of the White House and I am a member of a resistance against Trump. And, you know, he's unstable. He's mentally ill. He's this and that and the other thing, right? To print something like that anonymously is... You know, a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are thinking, well, gee, you know, you're real responsible and you're this and that and the other thing. Well, I believe all that. But they believe, you know, because everybody's talking about, well, who is it? Who do you think it might be, Dan? You know, I mean, right. The loudmouth woman that, you know, stabbed Trump in the back, she at least waited until she left the White House, okay, to,
right.
chop him up. You know,
Amoroso or whatever her name was. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, she at least waited till she left. So, okay, who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? That's the big talk, right?
Right.
Well, I believe that was the intention. I don't believe there is an anonymous source. I believe this is a deep state intelligence operation to sow distrust and paranoia within the White House to distract them from doing the things they're supposed to be doing. It's like if I go whisper in your ear, hey, Dan, you know, I thought I saw Linda at the strip club the other night. You know, and, okay, you might think that's ridiculous. Give me a break. But it's going to be in your mind.
Right.
Now, what if, and I'll use somebody else, but let's just say somebody marries somebody who was an ex-stripper, okay? And somebody whispers in their ear that. Well, now, look, the White House has had a lot of leaks. You know, I mean, that's a fact.
Right.
And they know this. Now they go, psst, hey, somebody in the White House, I saw him at the strip club. Oh. Well, if you've got a White House full of strippers, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, that could be true, right?
Right.
We got to find out who's that, because I told everybody here, you're done stripping, you know, and that's the whole thing. And I think that's what they do, because I think it's the CIA doing it, because, you see, the CIA has a history. What they do, they're not gathering intelligence, folks, for the benefit of the United States. The only reason they gather intelligence is to use against entities. Whether it's people or whether it's a government. And they run around the world, and everybody knows this about the CIA, that their major thing they do is overthrow governments. They run around and say, well, we don't like that government. They're not going along. They won't do what we want. So we'll just overthrow it and get somebody in there we like who will do what we want. Well, one way they do this is they go out and they pay protesters, just like George Soros. Where do you think he learned to do that? You know, George, where do you think he learned to do that? You know, he learned that from the CIA. That's what they do. They go out and they give people money, but the CIA goes, you know, steps further. They also arm people, which Soros, as far as I know, hasn't done yet. Okay, but go ahead.
I'm going to have to break in. It's time for a break in like 30 seconds. Folks, listen to Frank Report during the week. In fact, he was on just before us, but we'll get his times when we get back. In the meantime, we're going to go over a break 3 minutes, and we're going to do some more talking when we get back. We're back 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back, folks. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And yes, we're going to talk about the Mission Church, but we're going to do that towards the end of the program. Right now, I'm having a conversation with Frank Stephan, which is the producer of this program, but he also has his own program. He's the founder of AVR, and his program is called The Frank Report. And you should really tune in on Frank, where he just really gets serious about everything. But anyway, Frank, you still there, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't know if you made it back to the mic yet, because, you know, I usually do a little,
Yeah, you did. That's why it took me a second there to answer you, because I was expecting the spiel.
Yeah, well, anyway.
That's a professional radio term, spiel.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay, moving right along with that. But a couple of comments on what you said, and I want you to, we'll continue on. You know, pointing, they, what they did was the New York Times, I'm with you. I believe they planted a seed of deception. I also believe that it came, I'm with you. It's, if it did come from an outside source and it's not a real person, so to speak, then I believe it did come from the CIA and those groups, because right now they're fighting for their life. They are losing ground every day and being exposed, at least the higher-ups are, and also these other people. It's going to come to a head at some point or another. So it stands to reason that they try any kind of tactic, because even Mueller's probe seems to be turning to absolutely nothing. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and it is their way, okay? They're not going to just quietly ride off into the sunset, all right? That's just
not going to happen
ever, and I think everybody ought to realize that. People might have different degrees of understanding at you know, what lengths they're capable of going to, and go, oh, they would never do that. You know, I'm sure you've heard that from people when you try to explain that, you know, like I've had several, you know, I try to tell a friend, oh, I don't know, 25 years ago, I said, hey, man, every time you go into the county building down there, you just remember that every single person in there is your enemy. And he didn't believe me. He said, oh, come on. You know, you're just so that way about things that, you know, everybody's your enemy and this and that. Everybody in there isn't your enemy. Maybe some of them, you know, are, but not everybody, not even the majority. I said, okay, Leonard, and Leonard's dead. That was his name. And I said, okay, well, you'll see. It took a couple of years, but a couple of years later, he got in some sideways with, county stuff, and he come to learn that I'm right. You know, because, look, I'm not saying, and I mentioned this on my show earlier, that people have this confusion in their head about, well, if I like somebody, they can't be my enemy. And if I if I hate somebody, they must be my enemy. And neither one of those is true. Just because I hate somebody doesn't mean they are necessarily my enemy. I might just not like the way they look, the way they smell, the way they sound, the way anything about them. I just might hate them. But that doesn't make them my enemy. You understand what I mean?
Right. There's a difference.
And if I like somebody, that doesn't mean they're not my enemy. I mean, I might like somebody, and they're smiling in my face, stabbing me in the back. I'm sure that's never happened to anybody who's listening. You know, a friend or a loved one or a family member stabbed you in the back? Yeah, that couldn't happen. See, you love them, you like them, but yet they're still your enemy, because I got news. Anybody who stabs you in the back is your enemy, whether you want to admit it or not.
Well, some are even more straightforward. Two instances came to my mind while you were talking about that. One was World War One. You know, they had a Christmas break thing where the German soldiers and the British and American soldiers met with the Germans and played soccer and different things, but yet when it was over with, they killed each other. And it's the same way with the war between the states. We had brothers that loved each other and other family that loved each other, but one fought for the Civil War, where, you know, the Confederates, and the others fought the other. They loved each other, but they still fought because they were enemies. But what we're talking about in this case, the enemies being, oh, I love you, and acting not like your enemy and stabbing you in the back. Back to you.
Well, sure. And, you know, if you look at this, though, and look, it's like anything else. You know, if you don't know anything about a certain subject, then you can't recognize when something that somebody is doing is textbook that subject, right?
Right.
You got to know. You have to have looked at the textbook, all right, basically.
Right.
To recognize, oh, hey, what you're doing, I remember that from the textbook. You know, you're doing exactly the thing that it said in the textbook. Okay, well, you got to know the textbook first. And sadly, Americans are somewhat ignorant to almost everything, you know, because they, you know, and I don't, it's not a really a criticism either, although it kind of is, because we are supposed to be vigilant. you know, and we're not. And that's why we don't know anything about anything, and because we basically just say, look, I pay my taxes, I go and vote, and I go to work every day, and I take care of my family, and I mind my own business, and I should be allowed to. You know, and I agree, you should be allowed to. You shouldn't have to be knowing all these things, but, you know, I should own a unicorn, too, but, you know, it's just not happening. So we live in this world, and you got to deal with the way it is, not the way it ought to be. And the way it is you better be vigilant or you're going to lose everything, including your life, including maybe even your soul.
Yeah, I got something to say about all that, just in brief. It's like this. That's kind of why America got to where it's at now, is not only is you know, the church being complicit, but you got to consider it like this. For a while, we thought that, you know, American people, we live, well, you know, we're safe, you know what I mean? War is really not going to come here. That'll never happen in America. And so we have a relaxed way about ourselves, because we did live in a free country. We did not realize that these people were all the time working to bring us down, you know? And I keep pointing to the Communist Manifesto, but you see, they've been working behind the scenes, and now all of a sudden it springs up. You know, it's like you stepped on a cat's tail. They're screaming so bad. But we were asleep because we thought we were in a place where we didn't have to do that, Frank. You know what I'm trying to say?
Sure. Not only that, you know, I mean, there was a time when we didn't feel we could be attacked because of the oceans. And what I think you're talking about is we all felt that, well, you know, we're all Americans, and we're mostly all understanding, whatever you worship, we all understand that Christian
right.
principles are what the law of this nation is about, and everybody follows that. We're all pretty civilized, and, you know, we're not going to do anything too heinous, you know, because we're all Americans. We're not some third world cesspool, right? Well,
right.
things have changed, and
right.
people need to be aware of that, you know, and the thing is, we were wrong to begin with, because
right.
while we may have lived in a country like that, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing, okay, we live in a country like that, but nevertheless, even in good times, especially in good times, you have to be vigilant. You have
yes.
to keep watch. You have, because that's when, you know, because I'm at the ball game, I'm doing this, well, what's the bad people doing? Well, they're robbing my house while I'm at the ball game.
Right.
Okay, because they know, hey, you know, Thursday's, you know, because he's doing good, he's got spare time and extra money, he goes to the ball game, right? Let's rob his house during then. That's
right.
what's happening, and that's what's happened in America. While we were all out playing games, our house has been robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And now the thieves are sounding off and screaming, you know, and trying to flip it over on us and make us the bad guys. But it is more than just this. Of course, it's more than just this country, but this is what we have to deal with. But my point, really starting out in the first of this, is the attitudes of evilness that's all around him. They're saying everything is good. It's bad. They believe it. Look at it. I've never seen such a generation that celebrated lies. Have you?
No, even in the, you know, even, you know, back in the, I guess, the nearest generation that, but, you know, here's the thing. Young people have always rebelled in a certain way, even in the 1920s.
Sure.
You know, you had the, you know, what they call them, the floppers and stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we had the hippies, and the thing is, but you're right, even then, even when the youth were rebelling, because that's what we do when we're young. Because we got to find out where the limits are, you know.
Right.
We have to find out where the limits are to know how far we can go, and that's what young people do. And it's nothing wrong about it. It might be annoying, but we all did it, so we might as well just deal with it. But now this generation is embracing lies as no one
right.
else ever has. You know, no other generation that I, at least in my lifetime,
right.
it's never
I
happened
agree.
Like this. Because, look, having a different opinion, look, I don't begrudge anybody who wants to say, look, I disagree with Trump's policies. I don't care, you know, if you just disagree with every single thing he wants to do. that's fine. That's your deal. And if you can explain to me why, I might say, oh, okay, well, I might disagree, but I see your point. You know, okay, but no, that's not the case. I hate Trump because I hate Trump because, well, I get paid $15 an hour to come out here and hate Trump.
Well, right, and the hearings, they got they took pictures of that dude with the, did you see it? The guy with the bag full of money handing out money to the woman that was a protester?
I posted it in our chat room. Yeah, three
did
pictures.
You?
I posted three pictures. One of him, you know, with the bag of money there, basically. Then another one of him counting out the money into her hands. And then the third picture of her being dragged out of the hearing.
Yeah, and that money comes from George Soros.
Yeah, and Steyer. Don't forget Steyer, because that guy, I don't know if you saw this, but that the guy Gillum running for the Democratic nominee for governor of Florida, who was the mayor of Tallahassee, he basically, well, he didn't basically, he was being interviewed, and he straight out thanked George Soros and Steyer for funding his campaign, because it was admitted that if Soros and Steyer did not pump millions upon millions of dollars into his campaign, he would have not been able to afford to even go past the primaries.
Right, right.
And he thanked Soros and him. So, you know, folks, I mean,
I don't get how, and I don't really get how he can actually fund all those things he funds and not, and even say the things that he is, like he's always hated the United States. His life mission was to bring, talking about Soros, to bring down the United States. How that there's not anything that we could not do against this man for doing all this. But I guess we'd have to have a real attorney general, right?
Well, yeah, that's for one. You know, if Soros ever sets foot in Russia, he will be arrested. If he ever sets foot in his home country of Hungary, he will be arrested. If he ever sets foot in Poland, he'll be arrested.
Right.
You know, so why not us?
Yeah, exactly. 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 But, yeah, all this evilness out there, and it's even, like I say, it's orchestrated, whether it's been riots or whatever, and paying them to do it. So subterfuge, it goes back to that. We're living in an age of lies and deception. And this is exactly, Frank, what the Bible says that would happen in this time. Back to you, Frank.
Well, and that's true. I'm just, you know, I know the media's always been biased, and I get that.
Right.
But the hypocrisy that I'm seeing is stunning. It's just, it's amazing. Because, I mean, here we are going, oh my gosh, The Russians, oh, they use the social media. Yeah, the nation of Russia, it's estimated anywhere up to like $300,000 they spent on ads, you know, on Fedbook and the different social medias, right? $300,000,
yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of money. I mean, boy, I, you know, consider myself rich if I had that much money. But as far as nations goes, that's nothing. As far as George Soros goes, that's nothing. So why are we having all these investigations into Russian interference in our democracy when we're not having any investigations into George Soros' interference in our democracy? Huh? Because
right.
He's a foreigner. Yeah, he might be a U.S. citizen. They should have never allowed that, but they did. But he's a naturalized citizen. And you know what? That can be taken away from you for treason, for insurrection, for rebellion, and that is what he's doing. He isn't out on the street, okay? He's not personally out on the street throwing rocks through windows, but he is paying other people to do so. Now, if I go hire a hitman to go kill somebody because I don't like him or whatever, well, guess what? If we get caught, I'm going to prison right along with the hitman because I'm guilty of murder because I paid for it. And that's a fact, folks. If you pay a hitman and you get caught, you're going to jail for murder.
Right. Absolutely. And Soros should go. But it goes back to that. We have to have somebody that will enforce the law. It's just like Obama's birth certificate. It's really, the evidence is there. It's just, it's garbage. But you got to have somebody to prosecute the reality. And if nobody's willing to prosecute, the truth means nothing.
Well,
back to you.
And there's a reason for that. With George Soros' money, he's been able to buy a lot of things, obviously. Well, one of the things that, you know, I'm sure he has fancy cars and nice yachts and all that stuff, too. But one of the major things guys like him buy is information.
Right.
And I'm sure George Soros has a dirt pile on every scumbag in our Congress. Every dirt bag in the State Department and the Justice Department, too, including Jeff the Weasel Sessions. You know,
I believe that's what's wrong with Sessions. I think they've got something on him.
I think they've got some on everybody.
Right. But
these are some heinous
in his
people.
Case, I believe that they're using it with him because, to me, his previous track record didn't seem to add up to the way he's being right now. But regardless, if he's a man, he should man up and do the right thing because of his job or resign that job and give it to somebody else. But, it's just my thought.
You know, a lot of these people need to take a page of what Donald Trump has done and look at it and go, because the fact of the matter is, and, okay, there's good sides to this and there's bad sides to this, okay? But it is just the way it is, all right? You know, me bringing it out is not a promotion of this and saying, oh, this is a good thing. No, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it is the way it is, and... You can take almost anything and try to make good out of it, right? So, okay,
right.
So you're this dirtbag, horrible person that, oh, gosh, I don't want anybody to know about, you know, how bad I really am, right? All right. Uh-oh, and here's Soros, and he has pictures and audio and everything else, and he's telling me I want you to do this or else. Oh, gee, okay. Well, these guys need to take a page and look and say, you know, it appears to me that the American people kind of think like this. You know, if you tell me you're going to do something and you're actually out there doing it, I don't really care about all your other problems, okay? So what? You cheated on your wife. My neighbor cheats on his wife. You know, I don't hate his guts over it. You know, I still go to his store and buy things because, hey, you know what? He's got good products. The American people, and the bad thing is, you know, the American people have generally lost any morality. But the good thing is that, hey, you know what? You can man up, as you say, and do the right thing and let Soros expose you because we don't care.
Right. That's a fact. And and look at that. That's a whole different reality. Again, we live in an age where sin is not a big deal. It really isn't. Look around. They sin. It doesn't matter. As long as the person's doing their job or whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh, okay, well, you know, he just... messed around on his wife. I seen him with two other women. Oh, yeah, so. But there was a time when that mattered.
Yeah.
At this time, it doesn't seem to matter. And that's one of my major points. Frank, I'm going to have to get you out of here because I got about 4 minutes left or so. I want to talk about the Mr. Church.
You betcha. So. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
All right. You be blessed. Thanks a lot for being on. Well, folks, that was Frank Stefan. Go check him out. Frank Report, he's on American Voice Radio. Where you find us, you can find him. But, yes, look at the evilness of things that's going on. That's my reality. And, you know, a lot of people say America is Babylon. If you lift the veil from your eyes and truly look, just like we were talking about, look at the lies out there, the lies, the deceit. It means nothing. Look at those people that are against Trump. Look at the way they dress, and it's abominations. It's abominable. It is one thing to disagree with somebody, but they shout at you. They won't even listen to you. Why? Because they don't want you to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. That's the point. That's why the leftists scream and argue and say all these things, because they don't have an argument against the truth. Okay, first real quick, folks, Monday, starting at, dark, well, it's actually on the 10th, it's dark the day before, is the Feast of Yom Teruah. What is Yom Teruah? Well, that's the Day of Trumpets. On that day, it's a blowing of horns. You know, there's horns and talk about the book of Revelation and that Yeshua is coming. At some point, we believe that Yeshua will come back on a Feast of Trumpets. But there's 7 years of tribulation first. But anyway, so we do the Feast of Trumpets. It is a Sabbath. We do that, and it's a dark to dark on the 10th. And what we have to say about that also is then that starts what we call 10 days of awe. That leads up to the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. And on that day, we'll talk about that feast a different day. But so, point is, feast coming. Remember the poor during your feast like you're supposed to, especially on the Feast of Tabernacles. Pray about a donation for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you, I know that, you know, I'm thankful. I want to ask the folks to donate to the Wichita Mission Church. And I'm thankful, you know, charity starts first in your home and then it starts in the people close around you. And, you know, for most of you, we're miles and miles away. But pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. It is a really tough ministry. There's not a lot of people behind us. I mean, there's scattered people all over the country, but we don't get any help from the organized churches and people in Wichita. And we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through. I mean, let alone come down and even check us out and see what we do. Well, I'm not going to that part of town. And so pray about it. And then, again, you know, we keep the feast, and we're in a place where there's not a lot of Messianic groups or anything. It'd be nice, because now there's starting to be some over in Wichita. It'd be a blessing if they would support us, but I don't even think they know about us. But we do need your help to stay open, so pray about it. We are the last hope for so many people. And as my wife and I talked about, we even take care with horrendous people with horrendous wounds. We barely know nothing to take care of them with. We need all kinds of supplies, medical as well, and food, all of it. We are the last hope for so many, and we are, folks, all responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to talk radio. I know you say, well, I just turn on the internet, it's free, but that internet cost you something, didn't it? Well, I have to pay for internet. I have to pay for podcasts. I have to pay for radio station airtime. And, you know, currently we're doing pretty good on airtime. I still owe Carter for this month, but we're catching up after a long summer slump, but we still need your help. So pray about it. Airtime's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air, because this ministry, Messiah's Branch, sells absolutely nothing. We don't do any commerce at all whatsoever. And unlike a lot of people, they offer this and that for donations. Well, we don't do that either. I guess we could, but we don't. We're concentrating on the Father's work. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're about His work. You can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order, or you can give a donation over the telephone. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Now, folks, again, Feast of Trumpets next week, and then Day of Atonement 10 days later, and then after that, right behind it, the Feast of Tabernacles. And boy, I pray that you're going out someplace and being with other people during the feast. We usually don't get out because we're taking care of the people, but we would go, but we don't have a lot of money to spend on that, because we live our lives to put everything into the Mission Church. We do the Mission Church and radio, and I raise my kids. And so, you know, that's kind of the way it is. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting talk radio. And if not our talk radio, all talk radio. Because there's one day that you may not be able to hear us. So while you hear us, again, support us, or support other people. If you're listening to other talk radio, support them. Because if Trump goes out of office and the leftists take back control, look at that mess out there in society right now. That's what's going to be running your country. Do you think a Christian voice is going to have a voice, or is it going to be shut up? If somebody that is conservative is going to have a voice on radio or TV, look, They're already censoring us on Facebook, or Frank calls it Fedbook. They're censoring us on Twitter, and so on and so forth. Google, even try the Google search engine. It's all leftist stuff that comes out first. You have to really do your research to get deeper things. Anyway, you must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.